pub. It's been, I think, about 3 weeks since I've stepped through the door, so it's kind of weird to be back, but I've been very kindly invited along by Pat from the Sheephaven Bay to have a little chat about the pub, the industry, and what next, I suppose. So welcome, Pat, to the show.
Thanks very much, Ash. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So I'm going to start by asking a question, I guess, most conversations begin these days, is how's your lockdown been? What have you been up to?
Well, lockdown has been the most boring 3 weeks of my life. It seemed to be the first lockdown was fine, but this second one is tipping people over the edge.
Yeah.
Boredom-wise and whatever, you know, and just, I suppose you appreciate little things in life, like going to your local supermarket. It's the highlight of the
That's
day.
That's the highlight, yeah.
So yeah, it's been very, very boring, but also as we're getting new guidelines, and we've got some more today, and we're just trying to prepare ourselves for what lies ahead.
So you mentioned the new guidelines today. So we're recording this on Thursday, the 26th of November, and the announcements on the new tiers have come out. So, I mean, I've tried to avoid the news as much as I can, because it just drives me to madness, really. But they've announced that London's going to be in tier two today. So that, I suppose it was touch and go whether it was tier two or three, wasn't it? But tier two seems to have been the call. So that means that pubs are allowed to open if they serve substantial meals. Is that right?
Yeah, but that's a big crux of the matter, is the substantial meal. You know, what does that involve? You know, obviously we're going to have to get guidelines on it, and what is a substantial meal. And then pubs like ourselves, who have old regular people in their 80s, you know, that have been coming out to the pubs for 60 years, and now they're being told if they want to have a pint, they've got to have a substantial meal. You know, how are they going to react to that? You know, this is, they need to get back to the pubs, you know, these people. How we're going to tell them what to do, and is it going to be viable after we do open?
Yeah, I think it's that sort of social part of people's lives at the pub, isn't it, for the regulars? And yeah, on that whole substantial meal point, it just seems crazy to me that it's not been announced at the same time as the tiers announcement to say what is a substantial meal, what are the guidelines. There doesn't seem to be any detail that goes along with this stuff, and then people are expected to make big decisions in a matter of days.
Well, in Ireland, they tried this in the summertime, where they let food-led pubs open, but they were only allowed in for 110 minutes.
Right.
And you had to buy a substantial meal in that time, you know, so obviously, you know, around Facebook and everywhere else, they were showing receipts of one scampi and chips and 14 pints of Guinness in 110 minutes. You know, how long are people going to have to sit in a pub, you know, after they finish the meal?
Yeah.
You know, do they have to come in, order the meal, and then get a pint? Or we don't know.
No.
You know, this is all speculation at the minute.
So how did it work, the Irish example over the summer? Did it work, or, as you say, were rules being bent?
Like everywhere, there is going to be places that bend the rules.
Yeah.
You know, if you know Jack and John and Mick aren't going to have some food, you've got to put some food up in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, to make it look as if they are having food. Again, I'm not so sure how they got people to leave after 110 minutes. You know, like, you know, do we have to police this? You know, we've talked before about, you know, if you go into a supermarket and there's people there with no masks and nobody's telling them they can't come in. Yep. You know, they don't want to police it, but we are supposed to police it. And again, you know, if you watch the news and whatever, they say that in pubs and restaurants and hospitality that there's very few cases, you know, and I think we're being punished. We're being hit with more restrictions, more ways of where we have to let go of money to do this, do that, do the other. And it's just becoming, I think it's, when it's all over, there'll be a lot fewer pubs and restaurants floating around.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the fear, isn't it? And throughout this whole thing, it just feels that pubs have been unfairly singled out. I mean, as you say, you know, there's no real evidence that there's any additional transmission of the virus in pubs. And, you know, every pub that I've been to this year, they've been great in terms of social distancing, table service, limited numbers, you know, all the guidelines that have been set out have been followed. And lo and behold, it seems to have worked. But yet still, the industry gets pointed out unfairly by the government. And I don't understand the logic, to be honest. It literally baffles me. I don't understand it.
Well, I suppose in these strange times, you know, people need to blame somebody, and the pubs do seem to be taking a hit for it.
Mm. That's the big thing, isn't it? When, you know, the pubs do open, you know, in whatever form and for however long, it's on everyone to support their locals as much as they possibly can. Because, yeah, as you say, fewer will come out of this. So it's on everyone to rally around, really. Because when they're gone, they're probably not coming back. I don't want to dwell too long on this one. We can talk about that all day. But, you know, there's some positive elements, and I want to understand a bit more about you and the pub here and the history. And you mentioned Ireland before. I think you're from Donegal, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm from a village called Darnines.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got two bays in it, Sheephaven Bay and Mulroy Bay, hence the name of the pub, Sheephaven Bay.
Yeah.
Even though I wake up every morning when I'm at home and I'm overlooking Mulroy Bay, I thought Sheephaven Bay would have a better ring to it. You know, I started here 12 and a half years ago, and before I was here, it wasn't really a nice pub. Didn't have a nice clientele or reputation. So I wanted to change it totally, where the people that were frequenting the pub at the time wouldn't feel welcomed.
Okay.
When I started up, and it has worked.
How did you go about that?
What, changing the name?
No, well, the whole thing, really, the change of the direction you wanted to take the pub in from what it was when you came in.
Well, it is a backstreet pub, but a lot bigger than you think from the outside. And before, there was a pool table where there'd be three or four people, undesirables or whatever, playing pool, and would put other people off coming into the place.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, we started putting up, making it feel more comfortable. It's got a lot of different nationalities that come into it, but mostly through sport.
Yeah.
Sport is a big one for us. You know, we've had a lot of celebrities down the years coming in here, and especially to watch the sport. And the sport pre-COVID was pretty good, and people seem to enjoy it. It's slightly, since we've been open in July, it hasn't been the same feel about it.
Mm.
because of the regulations as well, we're not supposed to be, well, we can't stand up, we can't stand up and cheer, we can't shout, we can't sing, you know, but we try to get it as best we can, you know. But yeah, as time goes on, you know, we have new sets of regular people coming. They mightn't live down the road or around the corner, but they come in to meet up with their friends in a decent atmosphere. And, you know, obviously we sell food as well, so we get a good clientele in here, and thank God we don't ever get any trouble in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used to come in probably every other weekend for a time, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even a bit further back than that, actually. And always for the game, always on the weekend. The atmosphere is just brilliant in here. I remember some games as well, last day of the season when, was it Aguero won it for City? I'm a Liverpool fan, but seeing United denied in the last seconds as good as anything in those days. So, yeah, and as you say, people, standing room only, absolutely rammed. And it was just brilliant that day. I really remember it. I'm just sort of looking around now, and I'm looking through to the back of the pub. Now, I don't know if this is one of these time playing tricks on me moments, but is that an extension at the back that was put on at some point, or was it redeveloped or something along those lines in the last decade?
Since I took it over, it was always there, but it had to be modified. It had to be upgraded. And we call it the conservatory, you know, because there's light coming in and whatever. It's great for us, for little groups of 20, 25 people, for, you know, through the pub clientele, we've got a lot of Spanish that come in here.
Yeah.
And they love to take the back room, watch their game, have their drinks, food, and move on afterwards.
And you mentioned the celebrities as well, so can you name any names?
Yeah, well, I'm looking across here, and I was looking at it earlier on, and I see Kevin Bridges over there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came in to watch a couple of Celtic games a few years back, and lovely guy, David Heyman, the actor. I think he was in Hatton Gardens, but he's been in a load of stuff. He's in his 70s. I remember him coming in one afternoon to watch a Celtic game, and it was half time, and I says, "You're late." He says, "I was down filming in the city, you know." So he was just coming off. If you look down there, Chris Sutton's been in.
Yeah.
He's on BT Sports.
I mean, he comes off quite a grumpy dude. I don't know if that's just his TV persona. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I see him on the thing, and he's. He can be a bit controversial on BT, but I think it's a lot of it is to do with the Celtic Rangers thing and whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I forgot how much there is on the walls here. There's loads of scarves and flags, pictures of... there's Diego Maradona, actually, there, kissing the World Cup, and sadly he died yesterday. I love these kind of pubs where I guess this has just been picked up over the years, like regulars will give stuff and people visiting for, you know, the weekend might drop off a scarf or something. I mean, is there any particular piece that you're particularly fond of, or any particular one with a lot of meaning behind it?
Yeah, well, there's a few caps up there. Nearly everything's been brought in from people that we know or regulars, or somebody's been at a game and they brought back something, but... I've got 17 caps up there with different counties.
Yeah.
And an old guy, God rest him, we used to go to the amusement arcade at home, and they were all up in the amusement arcade, and he brought them over from home, and we stuck them up, and people come over looking for them and whatever, you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I love it. Everything's got a little story behind it, isn't it?
Yeah, there's loads of ones there. You know, you have Sani when he was playing for Arsenal before he went to think it was Man City, he came in to do a broadcast one night.
Oh, yeah.
Ard O'Hanlon, yeah. Father Dougal, yeah. You know, there's been loads. Top right, Silvestre D'Souza, two-time champion jockey.
Yeah.
He's been in a few times. You know, you get a lot of celebrities that come in, you know. And some of them, you know, cause you to smile, and some of them cause you to grimace, you know. Getting back, you know, one day we had a Celtic Rangers game here, and there was a guy, you know, when Celtic scored, he started going shouting and roaring and going bananas, and I said to him, just to behave himself, yeah, and whatever, you know, one of the staff said afterwards, do you know who he is? And I said, no. And he said, he's a famous Scottish singer.
You weren't up to date on your top 40 chart at that point?
No, I wasn't, you know, but it is just, you know, these things happen and whatever, you know, like, and this is why the pub's successful, is you got to remind people, you know, to play by the rules.
And yeah, exactly. It's a shared space for everyone, isn't it? So you can't be running around thinking you run the place if you don't run the place. Yeah. I used to come in here for the sport quite a lot. So when the sport's not on, what's the sort of vibe? Who's in here? What's going on?
Pre-COVID,
yep,
we used to get a load of office people. You know, there's a big building around the corner, Greater London House, and there's loads of companies there. Friday evenings was very, very busy.
Yeah.
Once COVID hit, there's nobody working in the offices.
No.
Saturdays and Sundays would tend to be, you know, we'd have a few in during the day watching the racing, watching the football, and then you would have groups coming into Camden that would come down until 10 or 11 until we close and enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get a mixture of everybody. You know, you have, you know, you're saying about these scarves up on the walls and whatever, some of them are from teams in Spain, and every so often you'll see people coming in with their colours, having a look at the walls that have heard about, you know, these scarves and whatever, you know, it makes them feel at home as,
yeah,
well, you know.
That's right. Has the kind of people that come in changed at all over your time here? Like from those early days versus now, do you sense different ages or different nationalities or type of punters coming through the door, or has it been pretty steady over that time?
No, obviously from the start, you know, we were starting off, we had bare walls and IKEA furniture, and, you know, I suppose it is a learning curve, you know, before we were opening, we're screwing together chairs just so we could open.
Yeah.
But as time went by, and then word gets out that there's a half-decent pub around the corner, they've got a garden, you know, it's comfortable, you know, it's been building and building. We tend to get over the 25-year age group in here. You know, maybe it's not trendy enough for them, but it's successful. The people that come in are lovely. The office people, the football people, the racing people, the rugby, yeah, people. Rugby's huge here as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just gelling everybody together.
Mm.
And making them go home with a smile on their face.
Yeah. That's really the beauty of a good pub, really, that ability to have everyone, all different types in the place, all enjoying themselves and, yeah, as you say, going home happy. Just want to ask another question about Ireland. So is there a particular pub or pubs that you have a special connection with, or the ones that you particularly like from back home, whether in Donegal or anywhere else across the country?
Yeah, well, basically, when I was growing up, I was working in a bar.
Yep.
And there's one there, it's a famous bar called the Harbour Bar. And my father worked in it before me. And I worked there in the 80s. And It was owned by the Casey family, and their brother Terry Casey was a trainer in England, a horse trainer. And he won the Grand National in 1994-95 on a horse called Rough Quest.
I remember Rough Quest, yeah.
You know, so yeah, that would be the one that I would really, every time I go back home, I would always make a point to go on there.
Yeah.
And it's cozy. And again, it's one of those pubs where a lot of famous people go to as well, because it's got character.
Yeah, yeah. But is there anything from that pub that you tried to bring here, or have you sort of thought, like, this needs to have its own identity?
Yeah, but in that pub, there's a lot of photographs and whatever, so obviously I would have taken that idea over here.
Yeah.
You know, to me, when people go into a pub, if there's no music or newspapers, it's nice to see something, to look at something, and that catches your eye. And it gives pubs character, as I say.
Yeah, yeah. And conversation starters, yeah. And then on Irish pubs, again, what is it that makes them, I would say, more popular than traditionally English pubs, you know, around the world? You can kind of go everywhere, any country in the world, and you'll find an Irish pub somewhere. And they tend to be the ones where they're a bit more popular, a bit more busy, bit more life about them, and the, you know, the Big Ben pub around the corner, the British version, isn't so well attended sometimes. What is it, do you think, that draws people to Irish pubs in particular?
Well, I think a lot of Irish pubs, you know, you go in there and you know you're going to have a bit of crack and you're going to meet people and you know, and as you say, they're everywhere in the world, and I suppose maybe Irish people are very patriotic, and they seem to stick to their own. But also, for any nationality, you know, once they hear, oh, that's an Irish pub, there'll be a bit of crack in there, there'll be a bit of music, or you know, we'll have a good time there, and you know, and I suppose, like, you know, when you see St. Patrick's Day and St. George's Day. Now, there's no comparison in the pubs on who celebrates what. You know, everybody, every nationality is out on St. Patrick's Day, you know, for, again, the crack.
Yeah.
And whereas St. George's Day now is petering out every year.
Mm.
You know, and I remember I used to do quizzes, and I remember asking the question, when is St. George's Day? And hardly anybody knew when St. George's Day was, but everybody knows when St. Patrick's Day is.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the way we celebrate more, and you'll always have a half-decent time in there, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've only enjoyed St. Patrick's Day once in Ireland. My wife, girlfriend at the time, she lived over there for quite a few years. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was a cold, wet day, unfortunately, but nonetheless, it was just brilliant, like, just thousands of people, millions probably, on the streets. You know, you go in from early morning with your green pancakes, and everything's green, and everyone's just having the time of their life. Then the parade, it's a lot of fun. I'd love to do that again, actually, but I suppose, you know, if you come to your local Irish pub in London, it's probably the next best place.
Next best place. I would say they celebrated in London and New York better than they do in Ireland now. You know, people, when they're away from home, you know, there's always a huge parade in London for St. Patrick's Day, and in New York. Everybody wants to go to New York for St. Patrick's Day.
Boston as well, I think.
Boston,
is that quite popular?
Yeah. Most of them cities. Mm. I think there's even one in Argentina that celebrates it in a big, big way. You know, like, so.
With Irish expats over there, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you know, it's more focused, you know, the Irish celebrations than, say, the English celebrations.
Mm.
You know, there's no parades for St. George's Day.
I don't know if we asked this. How did you get to come over to the UK? What was your... Did you come over and then start running the pub, or did you come over before then? What was your route to London?
I worked... 94, I started work in a pub in Camden, the Oxford Arms, and I was there for 14 years. And then I was thinking of leaving it at that stage, you know, the late nights, because we had a late license and the whole works, it was just getting a bit of, you had no social life or nothing. So and this place was the Sheep Haven, or whatever it was called beforehand, was coming up for lease, so I negotiated a deal, came in, and the rest is history.
So this is leased from the brewery?
Yeah, Enterprise Inns.
Okay. And how does that model work? Like, I guess I'm wondering about the challenges, really, of working when you're leasing it from a brewery.
Once you're tied to a brewery, it's very difficult to make money. I think there's a show on tonight on BBC about running pubs.
Oh, Tom Kerridge's series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've watched that and whatever, and you see the amount of money that publicans are working for. It's shocking. But basically, the tied model is you've got to buy their beers at whatever price they stipulate and then try and sell it on for a profit. You have no way of competing against free houses, which is the likes of Witherspoon's or any managed house who can buy their beer at whatever price. A barrel of beer might cost us 120 plus VAT, and you might be able to buy it free house for £70 plus VAT. And that's where it's very hard, you know, renovations, anything, we've got to pay for everything. So all they've got to do is charge us rent, make a load more money on the beer that they sell us. You know, it's not a fair...
No.
The beer tie is not fair.
I mean, is there any sense that that's going to change in the future? I mean, I don't know where change would come from, but how do you see that panning out in the coming years?
I don't think it's going to change for a long time, because especially nowadays, and nobody's going to have the money to buy the free houses. The tied model, you can get in with less money, but obviously you're going to make less money. No, I can't see it. Plus, people just won't have the money to buy the free houses and whatever, you know. There is a thing called MRO, which you go to tribunal. But instead of paying the big prices for the beer, you get the beer cheaper, but the rent goes up.
So you can't win.
You can't win. You can't win. To make it harder and harder, you know, with all these different clauses, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and then eventually people just give up and just stick with what they've got.
I mean, and aside from the tied model and those difficulties, what are the challenges running a pub that, you know, the average punter coming through the doors wouldn't necessarily know about or appreciate?
Well, people, once they come through the doors, they want to see a smiley face.
Yep.
But if you've had a 12 or a 14 hour day the day before, you're not going to be having a smiley face.
No.
Running pubs isn't about turning up for 4 hours, counting money and going home. You know, there's so much work behind that it's a 7 day a week job. If there's something, if you have a day off, people are ringing you about what'll I do about this, what'll I do about that day. You can't switch off. We used to always say that you really need to be bred into this game to survive in it. because, and especially younger people now today, is won't tolerate the work involved, you know, and maybe it's not in the top 10 career choices to run a pub.
Mm-hmm. Things have obviously changed a lot over the years. Is there anything you miss particularly about the old days, like how running a pub used to be?
In the old days, it seemed to be more regular people, you know, like I remember, you know, when I first came over to London on a Sunday, people would have roast potatoes and snacks up in the bar, and it was the highlight of the week. You know, people would go in just for the food, not for the drink, and might not even have a drink. You know, it's a case of, I don't know, even, you know, before the smoking ban and whatever, you know, there just seemed to be different characters frequenting the pubs. You know, you're up on a stool up at the bar talking to the bar staff, lovely atmospheres. And then slowly but surely, one by one, pubs go. Then they either change into gastro pubs or they just don't become viable, you know? Mm. Again, the property is worth more than selling a pint of beer at the minute, you know? Mm. But yeah, the old days, you'd have the darts on a Sunday morning, and you know, you just looked forward more to see people in the pub, and as I said before, the characters, it was lovely. Great memories.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 2020 has not been the year for happy memories, I suppose, and yeah, people sitting at the bar is not a thing for the foreseeable future either. So it's going to be difficult for the coming months to get that enjoyment out of it, I can imagine.
Yeah, you know, it's like the main thing now is for us just to survive until they get the vaccine.
Yeah,
you know, they're not going to make money. But it gives you a little bit of hope when they're talking about vaccines and whatever, you know, and rolling them out. And I just can't wait until pre-COVID days and go back to normal. We won't even know what normal is when it comes to that time.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's very difficult to know how, you know, if you compare 2021, say when the vaccines rolled out, with 2019, how different that will be. I hope it's not too different. I really hope it's not too different.
I look forward to the day that we're open in the old way.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't have to sit at a table and order a beer or order it on an app or, you know, and these times you feel sorry for the older generation.
Yeah.
Who can't log in on their phone as they come in the door, or who can't order a pint on their app.
No.
And they just stay at home, and then we forget about them, and the next thing we hear, his funeral is taking place, and nobody knows. We need them to come out, you know, and socialize, and again, feel part of the community, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. And I mean, I know all the pubs are doing their best to reopen safely. Hopefully many do next week, and yeah, hopefully, as you say, those people come back out, because it's vital, you know, it can be your only social contact sometimes, right? Okay, one last question, Pat. Is there any one thing you'd like to tell people who are listening, or a message you'd like to get out to the relatively meagre audience of the Go To Local podcast?
Well, the industry in general, you know, like, will depend on people supporting them after the lockdowns and the tier twos, threes. You know, it's up to them to make sure that the smaller publicans can survive. You know, without them, we can't survive. It's as simple as that. Publicans like ourselves are a part of the community. We do a lot of charity work, especially at Christmas time. You know, which has been obliterated this year, but hopefully we'll get back on track soon. for the older generation, it's so important for them that their local pub is open, and in a way that they can mix in with the community. You know, some of them have been isolating for months. You know, some of them, you know, we haven't seen a lot of people since July when we opened. You know, we're saying, oh, where's Joe, or where's Fred, or where's Mick? I haven't seen him. And then we hear, oh, well, I think Mick's got an underlying condition. He can't come out. He can't take the chance. You know, and until the vaccine comes, these kind of people aren't going to come out. When we do reopen, you know, we're going to have to up our game as well and welcome everyone in and go by the guidelines and do all we can to the best we can. And that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cheers to that. Thank you, Pat. Thanks for having me down at the Sheephaven Bay. It's lovely to be here. Yeah, as and when you open, I'll be back again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you then.
Looking forward to it, Ash.